Andre Khachaturian of the Armenian Sports News Podcast, joined today with a very special guest, Armenia track and field athlete Allison Halverson, joining us today from Austin, Texas, correct?
Yes. Hey, Andre.
How are you, Allison? What's
I'm
going on?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and talk about your career. Can we start all over? My bad. My mind just blanked. I sound like
that's okay.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Andre Khachaturian of the Armenian Sports News Podcast, joined today with a very special guest, Armenia track and field athlete Allison Halverson. I gotta start all over.
Okay.
The guest name. 3, 2, 1. Andre Khachaturian of the Armenian Sports News Podcast, joined today by a very special guest, Armenia track and field athlete Allison Halverson, joining us today all the way from Austin, Texas. Allison, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Andre, for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I know you're a busy woman these days. expecting a baby, correct?
Yes, pregnant.
Very amazing. Very exciting. That's so really very exciting news to see. So you already have one son, and wishing you and your husband, Nick, the best, the second baby. But Allison, you and I go way back. I want to take the audience back to 2011 or 2012. This is about 14 years ago at this point. And my buddies and I went to a showing of The Price is Right on CBS. And for those who don't know, for these game shows, you kind of stand in the line, and one by one, the producers come and they interview you to see if you're interesting, or I don't know, maybe speak English so they can call you up on stage. So we were in line waiting for the producers to come, and you and your sister, twin sister, were in front of us in the line, and we were just standing for hours, and we started chatting, and we found out you were Armenian at the time. At the time, you were at the San Diego State University, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, NCAA athlete. And we kind of connected there, and we've been friends since for 14 years. And throughout that time, you represented the Aztecs in the NCAA. And then what happened next? You kind of went on and tried to compete with the U.S. national team, correct?
Yes, I represented San Diego State for 4 years. I became a NCAA runner-up in 2014, and when I graduated, I continued running track and field, and I represented Team USA 6 times internationally. I never made the Olympic team with the U.S. or the World Championship team with the U.S., but I made other teams, which is really exciting. But then, actually, when I first met you at the Price is Right, it was you and I have a cousin in Armenia. You told me, you should run for Armenia. I'm like, how do you do that? I'm like, what? And it happened. I switched countries in 2020. Unfortunately, I had to sit out due to politics. Even though I met every criteria representing Armenia, they wanted me to like have this waiting period. And finally, I was able to represent Armenia in 2023. But during that time of waiting, I had a baby. And now he is almost 3. But yeah, it was fun. I represent the U.S. and now I represent Armenia.
Yeah, and you obviously have had a great career, an athletic career, and this past, I guess in 2024, you kind of hit that pinnacle doing something that no Armenian's ever done, becoming a world decathlon champion. And this was kind of a symbolic victory as well in some ways, because currently in the Olympics, women only compete in the heptathlon, which is 8 events. An octathlon would be 8 events.
Yeah,
right.
It is. Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me. So 7 events, whereas the decathlon is competed by men, and that's 10 events. So we've seen so many, I guess this is the first Olympic year where there were as many men as women competing in the Olympics. I remember seeing that for the Paris Olympics. However, you have this disparity where women are competing in fewer events than the men. So what was that like competing in that tournament this summer, which was going at the same time as the Olympics? Am I correct?
Yeah, the same time as our gun went off the same time as the men's went off in Paris.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was so special because to backtrack, my dream was to become an Olympian, and I did everything I could to do that, and I actually was announced by the Armenian Athletic Federation Olympic Committee that I was going to the Olympics as the wild card athlete in the 100 meter. I earned the spot, and then a lot of stuff happened behind the scenes, and I was taken off because the Armenian athletes pressured the government, and then the Armenian government was able to pressure the Olympics somehow to change the rule to allow this trade. But I'm so fortunate that I was in such great shape, and I knew about this World Championship Women's Decathlon coming up, and I signed up. I trained for 3 weeks. I did all the events again. I learned two new events, the pole and the discus. And I hadn't competed in a heptathlon in 3 years because the past 3 years, since having my son, I only trained for sprinting events and hurdles. And thank God I have muscle memory. It wasn't too hard. I realized I was strong and fast, and the events kind of came right back to me when I trained for those 3 weeks. But yeah, I entered that women's decathlon, and when I was a heptathlete, I knew of women trying to do this, of doing this decathlon. And I was kind of like a hater, be like, why are they doing this? And now I realize, since doing it, the women should be doing the decathlon. I understand, like, we are putting ourselves in a box by not allowing ourselves to do all the events. And the reason why we don't do all the events is because when the heptathlon was created, women were not allowed to pole vault still in 2000. And the women's heptathlon became an event in 1984. And before that was women's pentathlon, and then before that was women's triathlon. And so every so often we are fighting and getting more and more events, but now it's like, hey, we should do all 10. The women pole vault now, we should be doing this.
What type of reaction have you gotten from the athletics community after your victory and after this event was put on?
I had a lot of support. I think a lot of people felt from my story of like the first waiting for representing Armenia, and then finally getting announced to the Olympic team, and then getting taken off. And so I think people really were admired like my perseverance and not giving up, and trying to make lemon, I guess, lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah, and I remember that time in this past summer where the Armenian state media announced that you would be representing as the lone track and field athlete at the Paris Olympics. And then I contacted you to congratulate you, and you were not in a celebratory mood because you had heard other things. And unfortunately, the way things turned out, you ended up not going, but again, you made the best out of a crappy situation, for lack of a better way to put it. And now are kind of an advocate for I guess this fight to put the to have the women compete in the decathlon. Has there been any conversations internationally about, maybe you've seen something or read something about, for the 2028 Olympics to bring the decathlon to the Olympics?
They're trying to do that. The girls that put on the event, like Let Women Decathlon, their goal is to get it in 2028. I don't know if they'll be able to, but they're putting great efforts toward it, and eventually it will be changed. And I want to see maybe the next Olympic, because there has to be. I think the criteria, what they were looking for, is world athletics. The Olympic people are trying to be like, well, like X amount of countries have to have this at their national championship for us to be like, oh, okay, people really want to do that. Then we can talk about transitioning the heptathlon to the decathlon. I
Which,
don't think they should do it. They shouldn't have both. They just need to replace it.
right, yeah, it should just be decathlon and men's decathlon and women's decathlon. Interesting. Yeah, so you're definitely paving the way for that, so that's pretty cool. So talking about that Olympics, you're able to make a positive situation, but what was that feeling like? Take me back to that, where it's like you feel like you have something, and then you feel like it's taken away from you, like taking a candy from a kid. What was that
It
devastating?
was really weird. I remember first being so disappointed that I had to sit out those 3 years because I knew other athletes that didn't meet the criteria that got the waiting periods waived. And I was like, why is this happening to me? And then I was like, I think God wants us to have this baby, a baby. We got pregnant right away. And then someone told me to have this baby. And they were telling me, God wants you to have this baby. And then you go to the Olympics and your baby will go to the Olympics. And that was like the hope I was holding on to for a really long time. And the day that lady told me that, 3 years later was the day I got announced for the Olympics. I was like, oh my gosh, like God is really answering my prayer. Like I did it. Like this is it. It was amazing. I saw myself announced on Instagram. And so I immediately messaged the people that announced me. It was the Armenian Sports News. No, dude, that's you guys. It was
Armen Press.
Armen Press, yeah. And I said, how do you know? They're like, oh, the Armenian Olympic Committee announced it today along with like the swimmers. And I said, do you have proof of that? And then they said, oh, you can ask your federation. I emailed their federation. No reply, because 6 hours later after I got that, saw the announcement online and I read it in the Armenian Olympic committee like headlines on their website. I get a call from the head of the Armenian Athletic Federation saying they want to switch me. And I was like, how is this possible? Because there's in the rule of this wild card thing, it says there's no reallocation of the spot. And so, yeah, I got lawyers. I was like, this is not going to happen. And we're waiting to see what they were going to do with this situation. And what ended up happening was the Olympics, we emailed the Olympics asking how this is possible, because we heard later on, like, oh, they're going to switch you with the boy. Because at first they told me they were going to switch you with the girl.
Right.
I said, that's not possible. And yeah, the Olympics allowed an extra two or three spots in this wild card 800 when they were only allowed three.
So for those who aren't familiar with how this works, is every Olympics, every nation, I guess, maybe it's every nation, every NOC, I guess, they're allowed a certain amount of spots in, not in every event though. It's only specific. It's three events. It's the 100, the 100,
the 800, and the marathon.
The marathon. So from those three events, every country can send one athlete to one of those three.
Yes. And before it used to be one boy and one girl.
Yes.
And this year it was only, oh, can you see me? Yeah. This year it was only one.
One athlete.
Doesn't one athlete.
Male or female.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though they wanted equal representation of men and women, and that the rule was so confusing because it would say if you have a boy that's already qualified or a girl that's already qualified through the standard or world rank, you're still allowed to have the opposite sex compete. So then some countries got two. Like they got the wild card even though they had somebody qualify. So that was, and I don't know why the rule was written like that, but anyways, I was the person that was selected from Armenia. Even I had the second highest rank. The boy, the 800 runner, he was 1500 runner, he had the highest rank, but he wasn't the top three in that 800 because you had to apply. He didn't make it, and it was announced 800, and he wasn't on the list.
So the, remind me, Yerevan?
Yeah, Yerevan.
Yerevan Mkrtchyan, I think.
Yeah, and they never posted the final list of the women's 100 until the Olympics started.
But I think there was no, I don't. There it was only Yerevan Mkrtchyan. I don't think a woman went.
No. I mean, I'm saying like there's a Road to Paris website, and it showed on this day they're supposed to post all the entries, and they were not posting the 100. And I think it's because a lot of countries had this problem that were allowed the wild card.
Bizarre, very unfortunate. But it is good to see that. How did you remain positive throughout all of that? I guess it's.
I had a lot of people praying for me. I was praying constantly. I would literally just lay on my couch. I couldn't focus on anything. I fasted for 3 days. I was reading my Bible. I was going on walks, just praying, like, what, God, please answer. Like, why is this happening to me? Why would you let me see this and then get taken away? And it was really hard, but I think, like, the multi-heptathlon mindset of me, if something goes, it doesn't go your way, you still have to keep going. And you have to keep competing. Let's say like if you're in the fourth event and it doesn't go your well, you still have the three more events. And so once I remembered the decathlon, it was literally like the next day that I was in this turmoil of being told I was going to be taken off. I was like, all right, this could be it. Like this, we got it. This is an open door. Like we should try this, you know, like I think I can win this thing too. And at the end of the day, like it would have been really nice to be called an Olympian or just go to the Olympics, but I would have gone to an event that like, it's not my event, the 100 meter.
Yeah.
And I got to do something where I love it. I love the multi, I love the community, and to say that I'm a world champion and I can actually have legacy. I could, you know, help this continue to be in the Olympics. So it ended up being hard at first, but now I'm very thankful that I had that opportunity.
And your background, of course, is in the multi
Yes.
Events. You were a national runner-up at UC San Diego, sorry, San Diego State in the heptathlon.
Yeah.
In 2014 or?
Yeah, in 2014. And then in 2018, it had actually the second highest score in the U.S. and the 22nd highest score in the world.
Wow.
Except that wasn't it wasn't a world year or an Olympic year, but
yeah,
it was so cool.
That's amazing. The timing,
yeah.
The timing. But no, that's pretty incredible how you remain positive. And what happened with you with the federation as well? How do you, if something like that happened to me, I'm not gonna lie to you, I would just sever ties with them and then be like,
oh, I wrote an email and I just like, they had no reasoning, that no excuses, so they never replied to my email. They called me and they're like, oh no, it's behind, it's in the past, but just be happy for it. I'm like, how can I? I'd be happy for him to be qualified legitimately.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm decided to, you know, I'm pregnant now and like, I want to keep growing my family. I don't know if it's worth it to keep competing for Armenia at this elite level. You know, I feel like I've done everything, you know, I want to do in the sport. And yeah, I don't know. I'll go back to Armenia. I love Armenia still, but, yeah, the federation was not nice.
But you're at peace with your career.
Oh, I am. I mean, it'd be cool to be in Olympia, but now, like, I'm very thankful I started my family before, because I realize there's more to life than athletics. And what's been kind of nice is my neighbor is a 5-time Olympian in the high jump, Amy Acuff, and her husband took fourth at the Olympic trials on misses. He almost made the Olympics. And so they were actually helping me those 3 weeks of teaching me how to pole vault, because the husband was a pole vaulter, and then Amy helped me in high jump. And yeah, they're just so humble, and like there's more to life. Like it's not, they can't be like the best thing you do in your life.
Of course, it's just a part of your life. And so like, what would 22-year-old or however old you were, 21-year-old Allison in that Price is Right line think of her life now after all of this has happened? You ended up representing your ancestral roots with Armenia in elite competitions, and you had an opportunity to go to the Olympics, and you had the second highest score in the heptathlon in 2018, and now you have two kids two kids and a beautiful family. If you told that to that girl in standing in that line at Price's right now, what would she have said, and what would that be like?
I don't know. I thought about this actually yesterday, because there was this interview that I posted on my Instagram of us being interviewed 5 years ago about COVID. Like, what are you guys going to do? And I just switched the country, but I didn't hear anything back yet. It was still good. Everything was good. And I am so grateful, because in that interview, I wanted to retire after 2020. And if I didn't have to sit out, if I didn't have my son, I wouldn't have continued to keep competing. And I did get better. I got faster this year, even after having a baby. So I wouldn't believe it, because 21-year-old me too, I was training with some group, I remember, and I was training with 30-year-olds. I'm like, how are you still doing this? Because this is hard. Because not every year you do good. Like, some years you are injured. Some years you, whatever, like, don't make the team. And they're like, I don't know, you just keep going. And now I'm there, I'm like, wow, you do just keep going. And,
well,
yeah.
We're seeing it more and more in professional sports. We saw Tom Brady win the Super Bowl at 43. in a very physically demanding sport. LeBron James is 40 years old and he looks 25. It's really incredible. But with women having going through a pregnancy, giving birth to a child. I remember there's a Olympic swimmer, Dara Torres, who was she competed in the Olympics after giving birth, which was incredible. But I just want to talk about your Armenian career as well, real briefly. You had some good moments as well. You competed in the European Team Championships, set the national record in a relay heat, and you beat Azerbaijan in that race too.
That
What did that mean to you? Especially it was like right after that war in 2020. What did that mean to you, have that victory under your belt?
was actually so amazing. That was one of the coolest things, I did was compete in a mixed relay. I love competing in relays, but as multi, you don't really get to do that. And I mean, it was like a last minute thing. I think they didn't tell me that I was gonna go compete in a relay when we went to Poland, but it was awesome. In the end of the video, at the end of this race, the Azerbaijan girl, cameras in her, and she's like shaking her finger. I'm like, oh, they hate us. But it was fun to get the victory, and by a lot.
Yeah, I mean they aren't quite, they're not fond of us, I'll tell you that much. So getting that victory is that was pretty cool. And you make a whole nation proud after a moment like that. What does that feel like to be able to make your ancestral roots, Armenia, Armenians around the world proud after a moment like that?
It was so cool. I wish I spoke Armenian so I can like understand a lot of the interviews that were happening during that time. But I know my family was super proud, and like my grandparents, they're passed away now, but I know they would be like amazed and so happy that no, I'm doing this, because I don't think my grandparents knew I would compete for Armenia, but they did know I was competing.
Well, I'm sure I'm sure they know. And that's an incredible story that I'm sure they're very proud of you, wherever they may be now. I wanted to also ask, I know I did ask about your future. You said, so you're done. You don't want to compete anymore, or?
We will see. Like after doing that decathlon,
I mean, sorry to interrupt. I mean, the Olympics are in Los Angeles. It's your hometown.
I know. So I would have to qualify legitimately. I wouldn't be doing this like trying to get this wild card thing. And I looked at after when the Olympics had finished, how like the last two girls qualified through the world ring in the heptathlon, because they lowered the field size. That's one of the reasons why I was like, this is way too hard. There's only 24 girls. It used to be like 36. And so the marks I did in that decathlon were pretty close to what those two girls did in the heptathlon events. I was like, I think I can do that. And like, I only trained for 3 weeks. And I realized like I don't need to train that hard in the events. I just kind of get fast and strong again. So we will see. I don't know. It'd be more challenging with two kids, and we don't have family that live here. But my husband's company's doing a lot better, so like maybe we can afford to like hire a nanny or something, and I can go and train, because I do like working out and I like being fast. But I have still a little bitter taste in my mouth from Armenia.
Well, that's it. I selfishly, I would love to see you try it one more time, especially since it's in Los Angeles. That's
I could do. I'd be 35, which is still a good age.
35 is very young. I'm 35 now, so but I think that's incredible. It's what is it, 2025? So yeah, you have 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. I feel like I could do it. It was just like, do I want to do it? Like, I know I can get in shape again. I know I can be fast. It's like the unknowns are like injury or like, I don't know. I would know the meets I would do to qualify, and I can get in the meets.
So, question though, you said you were not no longer on the Armenian national team. Would you have
No, I can never trade again. Never
to?
switch back.
Great. Okay, gotcha. So you just want to qualify with by hitting the threshold.
Yeah, there's like three ways to qualify. It's like hit the standard, qualify by world rank, or qualify with no one's qualified in your country. You get the wild card or universality place. And so,
You tried the universality and got burned by
yeah.
it, so you
Well,
were
I tried to do world rank as well for the 400 hurdles, but this was another crazy thing. Like one of the meets I was trying to get my world, they take, I think it was, I can't remember now, like five of the average of 5 year hurdle races or something. for the heptathlon is only two of your meets, but one of my rankings would have been the Armenian National Championship. They never got that meet approved. They never got it sanctioned, and they also didn't have my event. I remember calling the morning of, like, when is my event going to be on the day? Like, what event should I do? And so I ended up doing the 100 and the 400, and I broke the national record in the 400, which is really cool. I ran 53:37, but they did not have the event I was training for all year. Because they're like, oh, there's not enough girls. Like, there is, you just have to have someone start the race.
It's very bizarre. And
Yeah. But the race wouldn't even count if they did had it.
previous conversations you and I had, it seems like you had issues with the US Federation too, correct? Like,
I did. That's why I switched countries.
oh, so it's
I know.
I'm
I don't know.
sorry.
I don't know why. I'm a nice person. It's like I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. So yeah, in 2019, I was selected to be on the Pan Am team for the US, which is like the third
American.
highest team. And it was unfortunate. My training partner, bridesmaid, my wedding, was told by these people to like sue USA Track and Field saying she should be on the team, and I didn't. I found out through Facebook and I approached her at practice. Like a month into this thing happening, I didn't know I was one of the people being affected. It was announced, you know, like everyone else. The team was announced. But what happened was it came down to the rule. So USATF wrote their rule different than how they selected. And so they said, oh, an intern wrote it, whoopsies. Because their rule was like, oh, we're selecting athletes based on indoor, outdoor 2019 comprehensive marks, but they chose me and 23 other people on the team with our 2018 marks. So every other country did it that way, though they chose from 2018, 2019, but for some reason the US wrote their rule different than how they selected. So I was like, this is a joke. Like I can't like this. I'll represent Armenia.
Yeah. Well, I apologize that I had to open up those wounds again.
Oh, don't worry about it.
You really have bounced back, and your resilience is should be commended, because a lot of people would have quit after going through stuff like that. So it's really nice to see that you've bounced back, and it's interesting to see that you've left the door open for 2028.
We'll see. I mean, it's not off the table, but yeah, I have some people tell like put like you gotta do it, you should try. So yeah.
Well, until then, I wish you the best in the next few months as you get ready to give birth again.
Thanks.
Continued blessings to you and your family, and thank you for being an incredible representative for the Armenian community. And Alice, it's Allison Halverson, Armenian track and field athletes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Andre.